Well, when I was a new father, I encountered some very challenging moments, some new moments, as many of you can identify, whether new father or mother, but particularly as a father, of course, is my perspective. But sometime in the first few months after Zoe was born, our eldest, Sarah had gone out shopping for a few errands, and I was glad for her to do so. Of course, as a new mom, she needed to get out of the house to have some breaks, so I was glad for her to go. But before she made it back, little Zoe got hungry. Although we stored excess breast milk, we somehow, I don't remember the exact circumstances, we didn't have any on hand at the time, or maybe it had already been frozen, and you know, had to carefully weigh, do I unthaw this precious milk, or do I trust that mommy will be home soon? As the minutes passed, Zoe's cries became more intense, and I felt more helpless, and my anxiety became more elevated. It's probably only 10 or 15 minutes, but to me, of course, it felt like a lifetime. And maybe some of you, especially you dads, have found yourself in a similar situation where they really need mom, and you can't do much to help. And I'm perhaps being a little bit dramatic, but if so, not by too much. It's heart-wrenching to have a little one crying and to feel like you can't do much about it. The type of longing that newborn infants exhibit towards milk is passionate, desperate, expressive, and singular in focus. Their whole little body craves what they need. They let you know with piercing, desperate cries. They long for milk. They long for it. And as we read, Peter exhorts his readers, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. When Peter uses the phrase pure spiritual milk, it is obvious that he is referring to the Word of God because of the context. In verse 23, just a handful of verses prior, he reminds them that they've been born again through the living and abiding Word of God. Then in verse 24, he quotes from Isaiah 40 about the Word of God again. So pure spiritual milk entails the Word of God, which has the message of the gospel at its center. Peter exhorted his readers to long for the pure spiritual milk, because their desire for the Word was not what it could have been or what it should have been. They needed to grow in desperation for the Word. They need to grow in that desperation to be who they're called to be in Christ and in relationship to the world as well. God himself exhorted these exiles through Scripture and exhorts us today to be like newborn infants in our attitude towards God's Word. As we have said, the type of longing that newborn infants have towards milk, I'll say it again, passionate, desperate, expressive, singular in focus. They are this way because they're so vulnerable. They are utterly dependent upon it. We are vulnerable spiritually, and we are designed to be dependent upon God's Word. We're to be like this towards the Word of God. But often we're not. Our sinful human nature, we see, if we do a brief survey of biblical history, we can see that it goes well for God's people when they long for, when they're truly receiving, believing, and applying God's Word. And it doesn't go well for God's people when they reject or they don't long for His Word, when they make little of it, ignore it, reject it, or don't apply it. In the Old Testament, God's people, led by the king, rejected His Word by not obeying His commands. And when the prophets confronted them, bringing God's Word of judgment to them, they persecuted or injured or killed the prophets. So then the Lord brought judgment upon them through foreign peoples, the Syrians, Babylonians, and Persians, and they became captive in a foreign land. And then prior to the time of the prophets, the kingdom of Israel enjoyed its most fruitful days under King David. And although he wasn't perfect, he feared the Lord and he longed for God's word. During the time of the judges, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, disregarding the word of the Lord. Again, the Lord consistently used other nations, Israel's enemies, to bring judgment against Israel. And of course, if we go back to the very beginning, Adam and Eve put their own word above God's word. They disregarded what God had told them. They didn't long for and weren't submissive to God and his word. And then, as we know, the world erupted into chaos as sin entered the world. We must learn from biblical history that we cannot disregard God's word, that we must long for it. We must long for it like a newborn infant for milk, with that sort of desperation. This message is for all of us, young or old, whether we are new in Christ or have been walking with him for decades. Peter's exhortation here is for all believers. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 2, Paul says the Corinthians were infants in Christ, so they needed milk, not solid food. But Peter's usage of milk is different here. He does not make reference to their infancy in Christ, but is saying, he's saying, all of you be like a newborn infant in its longing for milk. Again, whether young or old, whether new in Christ, or whether we've walked with him for decades. And the big idea from this passage is that we are to long for the pure spiritual milk, the Word of God. And we see reasons for that in this passage. Because God's Word is eternal and efficacious. Second, we're to long for pure spiritual milk because it brings life and love. Third, it enables us to put away destructive behavior. And then fourth, it grows us up into salvation. So first, long for the pure spiritual milk because it is eternal and efficacious. Look at verse 23. He says, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Peter's exhortation to love is based on the qualities of God's word. It is imperishable. It cannot break down, become corrupted, or decay. It is eternal because God is eternal. Even the greatest of human speech, of human teaching, is prone to be surpassed or replaced or become forgotten. It is not so with God's word. It remains forever, as verse 25 says. With God, there are no falling words. Politicians make promises that they are unable to fulfill. Happening right now as the U.S. presidential election approaches, lots of promises being made and hardly any of them, whoever wins, will be fulfilled. But it is not so with God. When the people of Israel came into the promised land, according to God's word, what he had promised, the book of Joshua reminds us in chapter 21, verse 45, that not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, we read that the Lord says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. These verses remind us that God's word, in addition to being eternal, it is efficacious. It's kind of a big word, but it's an effective word. It means that it accomplishes always and to perfection that which it intends. If something is efficacious, it always accomplishes that which it sets out to do. And that is God's word, because it is imperishable. Our word, my word, is not that way. We might think or say, oh, I'm going to do such and such today. But then we don't have the power or the ability to ensure that it happens. It's not so with God's word. God's word is 100% reliable. Peter quotes here from Isaiah 40, verses 6 and 8, when he says that All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. He quotes this because God's people in the Old Testament also needed comfort and reassurance of God's word, that comes from God's word. Isaiah wrote to the exiles who were captive in Babylon, and amidst their hardship and their instability, they needed to be reminded that the word of our God will stand forever. The scattered sojourners here in 1 Peter needed the same reminder as they endured trials and persecution. And we need the same reminder today as we sojourn through this life toward our eternal home with God. So we should long for God's word because it is completely sure. It is eternal and efficacious. When our lives are built upon it, we have a solid foundation, able to withstand the storms. When we build our lives upon other things, they have foundations which easily crumble. We have so much uncertainty in our lives. How is my job situation going to turn out, we might wonder. How is my financial situation going to be? Where am I going to live? Will my kids, quote, turn out right? Where is society and culture headed, and how will that affect me? Is the way that I'm living and investing my life actually making any difference? We have a lot of uncertainty. We have many questions. But when our lives are founded upon and invested in God's word, we have a sure foundation. We have a sure foundation. So let us long for God's word. Next, we see that we're to long for God's word, this pure spiritual milk, because it brings life and love. Looking again at verse 23, that all who are born again through the living and abiding word of God. God's word has the ability to create life, to speak things into existence. We see this in creation itself. In Genesis 1, the work of God's creation on each day happened through his word. In verse 3 of Genesis 1, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Down to verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And it was so, and so forth. God speaks, and it happens. And this relates to our salvation in Christ. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but according to his decree, he speaks life into us. We are born again through the living and abiding word of God. Just as Lazarus was dead in the tomb and Jesus spoke to him, saying, Lazarus, come out. In a similar way, it is with us. If you are alive in Christ, it isn't because you were clever or that you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. It was because the Lord spoke your new life into existence. He spoke, bringing us to life. But our will isn't bypassed in that process. Just as Abraham believed God, he believed God's word, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Although this was undeniably a work of the Spirit, Abraham exercised his will in trusting God. The Spirit produces faith in us, as we read from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, uniting us to Christ and making his calling effectual. But in this faith, he empowers our will to trust his promises, to trust his word. When we trust his word, that indeed he will give forgiveness of sins and new life to all who turn to Christ, we are born again. Faith is the instrument that connects us to Christ who saves. There is an undeniable and unavoidable aspect of trust in God's word. God's word brings life. And God uses our will as he enlivens it, as he awakens our will. He uses our will, our trust in that process. God's word brings our initial saving faith, we can see from Scripture. But God's word is also crucial to our walking in and growing in faith. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. As we as he continues to protect our spiritual life and create spiritual life in us by his word. We can see how he does that from Matthew 4:4, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, in the desert. He quotes Deuteronomy 8:3, and he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." As we walk by faith, not by sight. Our faith, as we walk in it, continues to be in all that God's word has revealed about who he is and how he saves in Christ. It's impossible to have a strong faith and a weak relationship to God's word. Some of you today might feel like that your faith is weak. Brothers and sisters, if we're not marinating in God's word, you can expect nothing less. And I don't intend to be harsh here, but it's this simple reality. God's word creates and sustains our spiritual lives. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we must long for God's word because of how it creates our spiritual life and how it sustains our spiritual life. And also because of how it brings or it creates love. We see that in this passage. Look again at verse 22. He says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart." Their souls are being purified as they obey the truth, God's word. Of course, we can only obey God's word as we trust it. And this applies across many spheres or areas of struggle or temptation. For instance, if I'm tempted towards lust, I can only obey the command to not commit adultery or not commit lust as I trust God. As I trust that his commands are good and that what he offers to me is better than the pleasures of the world and the pleasures of sin. Peter commands them to love in relationship to the word. He commands them to love in relationship to the word. David Helm says, he says, "The logic of love rests in this: God is life and God is love. Thus, if God sent his word into our hearts to give us life, then we have tasted of his fullness and will make manifest the fruit of his character, which we know is love." We must long for the pure spiritual milk because it brings life and it brings love. How much of what we invest in each day is unprofitable at best or destructive at worst? I don't know where each of you invest your disposable time. God knows. It could be sports, it could be social media, politics, other interests, news, hobbies, etc. And of course, it's okay to have downtime, to have rest. We each need that, but we need to be careful. How much downtime do we really need? And is what we're doing with that time bearing fruit in our lives? Is it glorifying to God? Long for the word. Invest in the word. It will bring life and love to those around you. I have one pastor friend who's now in ministry, but he didn't start that way. He was in the trades, and God caused him to be born again, and he started spending his evenings while working a full-time job just investing in God's word. At that point, his family wasn't in Christ, but soon his wife took notice. God began to work on her heart, and then his children followed the example. Before long, their whole family had changed because he had a God-given longing for the word of God. Let us long for the pure spiritual milk. Thirdly, we see that we're to long for God's word because it enables us to put away destructive behavior. Look at verse 1. He tells them, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander." This command here is given in relationship to the presence of the Word of God in their lives. If the Word of God has prominence in our lives, attitudes and behavior that are contrary to God's will have less and less of a place in our lives. The sins listed here are very destructive in relationships with others, and they have no place in our lives as believers. Additionally, they're destructive to Christian community. Just a few verses later, Peter will transition to focus on the corporate body of Christ as a spiritual house to please the Lord and to be a witness to the world. The church cannot please the Lord nor be a light amidst a dark world if there is malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander among us. I'm pretty sure I've said it, but bears repeating, either the Word of God keeps us from sin or sin keeps us from the Word of God. The psalmist says as much as this in Psalm 119, verse 11. He says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How does this work in a practical sort of way? I want to look at a couple of these sins and think about how God's word applies. If God's word is stored in my heart and my trust is in his promises, we can walk in freedom, not in sin. Let's take envy for an example. I might have a heart of discontentment and look at someone else's life and circumstances and think, oh, if I had their life, I'd be so much happier. That's envy. What does God's word say? He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. In Psalm 16, verse 11, he says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We're told that our ultimate pleasures are found in Christ, not in our circumstances. Romans 8:28, well-known verse, but that all things must work together for our good if we're in Christ, if we love him and are called according to his purposes. And that holds true even if my life I find quite difficult or even terrible at times. That doesn't change God's word. It doesn't change his promises. So the promises of God, the word of God, when we read them and apply them, they free us to put away envy. But we have to know them, meditate on them, pray them, confess them, and trust them. One more example from this list, malice. Malice here, the sense is wickedness or evil, even a hateful feeling. Perhaps someone has hurt us so badly that we have malice toward them. We have hateful feelings. Perhaps we even hate them. It could be, perhaps, that they've done something awful toward us. If so, that still doesn't justify or excuse our attitude, even if there is some reason for why we feel that way. It's never justification for hatred. But how does God's word apply and free us from malice? Well, it tells us, Romans 5, that God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And going on down to verse 10 in Romans 5, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. While we were enemies. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. This is a verse that we say often in our house and remind one another of. We have incredible forgiveness of sins in Christ. And if we know that, we know that grace, it should affect how we relate to others. If we've been forgiven much, we should forgive others much. Jesus illustrates this in his parable in Matthew 18 with the unforgiving servant. There's one servant who owed a lot to his master, 10,000 talents. I tried to convert it with math into today's time by the wages. Maybe something like $24.8 million that he owed. An incredible amount. But then he was forgiven that great amount, and he went out. And he had a servant who owed him 100 denarii. Trying to do the math, approximately $24,000. So 24 million versus 24,000. And of course, the servant did not forgive, even though he'd been forgiven so much. He wouldn't forgive someone else who owed him comparatively very little. That's what this parable, how it applies to us for malice. So we have to long for the word of God because it keeps us from destructive behavior. If we read it, we meditate on it, we apply it in prayer, we confess our sins, and then we walk in faith. We have to long for the word to put it to active use. And then finally, lastly, we're to long for this pure spiritual milk because it grows us up into salvation. Reading again from verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. As Peter has shown us in chapter 1, although we've been born again, it's something that's already happened, part of our salvation is future when Christ will be revealed, when he will return. Then we will come into the fullness of our inheritance. Yes, if we're in Christ, we have been saved, but he is still bringing to completion the work that he's begun. He will most assuredly finish that work. As long as we walk by faith on this earth, before we meet Christ, he will be continuing to grow us up into salvation through his word. And again, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So if you want to grow up into the salvation that Christ has purchased for you, you must long for the pure spiritual milk. It's no coincidence at all that the most fruitful believers that I know personally are also the ones who have spent decades longing for God's word like newborn infants. They memorize it and meditate on it. They quote it and pray God's word. When they disciple and counsel, they teach and apply the word. It rolls off their tongue, and they minister with a scripture-saturated framework. So how can you grow in longing for this pure spiritual milk? Yes, the Spirit has to work upon us, but he gives them this command because there's some aspect of our will involved as well. First, pray, ask God. Don't you think if you prayed and pled for an increased longing for God's word, that he would be pleased to answer that prayer? Sometimes we have not because we ask not. I think that's a prayer God would be delighted to answer. How else can we long for this pure spiritual milk? Elevate the preaching of God's word. Long for it. Don't elevate the preacher. Elevate the preaching. Pray weekly for the preaching of God's word. One of the Reformed confessions, the second Helvetic confession, says that the preaching of the word of God is the word of God. Do we think that way? Do we elevate the preaching of God's word? Again, not because of me or anybody else that will be preaching, but because, again, faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. If we want to long for God's word, how do we think about preaching? What's our expectation in coming to worship? What's our expectation in coming to hear the preaching of the word? Other ways that we can long for God's word. When there are opportunities to open the word of God together, to study it, discuss, and apply with other believers, let's strive to make that a high priority. I know I've been changed by those opportunities and continue to be changed and help to grow through opening the word with other believers. Let's study the word together in our homes, family worship. Let's open the word together, study it, pray, discuss. Listen to the word. These believers at this time, they were instructed to long for the pure spiritual milk when they didn't have each physical copies of God's word. They treasured the hearing of it whenever they could hear it. They remembered it. They meditated upon it. They spoke it to one another. But we can listen to the word very easily, even through most of us on our phone. Listen to the word as you're going about things. You may not have the opportunity to open a Bible because you're driving or doing something. Listen to the word of God. Pray the word. When you have devoted times of prayer, pray according to a passage from one of the epistles, from one of the Psalms, other places. Pray the word. Start and end each day with the word. I don't do it all the time, but when I do, it's really helpful. Just my first thought, just quote a verse. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, for me, has always been a favorite to do that with when I wake up. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What if that's our first thought every day or something similar? If you have tasted that the Lord is good, long for the pure spiritual milk that he provides. A great tragedy today is that there are people in the world today who are physically starving or malnourished when there is enough food in the world. It's just that they don't have access to it. I wonder if the Lord looks upon some of us and feels such sorrow for, or perhaps he laments, my dear one, if you would only long for the pure spiritual milk. You are malnourished, maybe he thinks. You are famished. You don't have to be. Long for the pure spiritual milk. Take hold of it. It is available to you. Take and drink. Eat. Maybe he's thinking, if you just put away distractions, put away the passions of your flesh that wage war against your soul. Long for the pure spiritual milk. None of us are where we would want to be in this. It's a hard exhortation, but one that we need to hear. But we have a Savior who's gone before us, and we can look to him for hope. He too was in the flesh like us, and yet he longed for pure spiritual milk. Although Jesus was the Word incarnate, he longed yet for the Word of God. He longed to hear from his Father. He treasured the Word. He knew the Word. He treasured the will of God to the extent that he lived without sin. Many of the Psalms we can understand as though they were written by and could be prayed by Jesus himself. Listen to this from Psalm 119, starting verse 16. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. We have a Savior to emulate in his longing for the Word. Let us fix our eyes upon him and say, Jesus, make me as you are. Make me as you lived, with that sort of longing for your Word. And as we do so, as we, by God's Spirit, but also through our effort, as we grow, we'll grow up into the salvation that he has for us. Long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Let's pray. Father, for those of us who are in Christ here, we have tasted that the Lord is good. We have salvation. We have tasted of your pure spiritual milk, because we know that faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. And yet sometimes we can forget. We can forget this wonderful taste of this pure spiritual milk. We can get distracted. We can try to be satisfied with other things, with lesser things that truly don't satisfy, that don't help us grow up into salvation. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to have an increased longing for this pure spiritual milk, for the Word of God. Help us to fix our eyes on our Savior. Help us to pray often, Lord, create in me a longing for your Word, a delight to receive from it, a delight to know it, a delight to apply it, a delight to do your will. Father, help us with the strength that you provide, to walk in discipline, to discipline ourselves for the sake of godliness. We know that bodily discipline is of some value, but godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for this life and for the life to come. Lord, help us to apply this word today, to long for the pure spiritual milk, and that as we have a growing longing, that we will grow up into the salvation that you have for us in Christ, bearing fruit for your glory. People would, others, because of us, they would see Christ and treasure Christ because of the presence of your word within us. Do this work, Lord, in us, we pray. We pray it for Christ's sake and in his name. Amen.